The good news according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Luke 16, verses 1 to 15. He also said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'And how much do you owe?' He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts, for what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. You know, this is a tough gospel lesson. It's difficult to understand it. So when I first read it, I thought, maybe I ought to pump this week. And I checked out the epistle lesson. So I'm back at the gospel lesson. You know, whenever you read any parable, the immediate question is, what truth is being illustrated here? What point is Jesus trying to make? With some parables, it's pretty easy to see the point. Frankly, it's not easy to quickly see the point of this parable, the parable of the dishonest manager. In fact, the parable doesn't make much sense, not at first. And the reason this parable doesn't make much sense at first is because you and I don't recognize ourselves in this story. Even though the parable is addressed directly to you and me. Last week we read the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin, and Luke pointed out that Jesus was addressing the Pharisees, the people who opposed him. But this week, Luke 16 starts out, Jesus said to the disciples. He's talking to the people who believe in him, who follow him, like most of us here. He's talking to you. So if this parable is intended for you, who represents you in this parable? Well, there's the rich man who owns everything. And then there's the manager or steward who's responsible for taking care of and using all the rich man's assets to benefit the rich man. Here's the first thing that we have to recognize if we're going to understand this parable. We're represented in this story as the manager or steward, not the owner. And that chafes at us because we like to see ourselves as the owners. You and I like to survey all that we own and maybe admire it, and we see it as the fruit of our labor, my possessions, my bank account, my children, all mine. And all that I have is mine to do with as I please. Any thought to the contrary is repulsive. I earned this stuff, or I inherited this stuff, and it's my birthright. We have trouble identifying as managers or stewards. We like to see ourselves as owners. And here's the other idea introduced in this parable that we really can't stand. The idea that I am, or you are, a dishonest manager. Dishonest? That's a little extreme, isn't it? Frankly, first of all, I see myself as an owner, not a manager. And then to suggest that I'm a dishonest, lousy manager, no, not me. I can't see myself as that character in this parable at all. Because truth be told, I do a pretty good job of wisely managing my resources, especially compared to other people. You know, years ago when we lived in Olympia, one bleak, rainy February afternoon, there was quite a stir in our neighborhood. In fact, it looked like game day in Eugene or Corvallis, with TV trucks filled with equipment and cameras and news reporters crawling all over the place. It turned out that there was a big news story breaking in our neighborhood, and news crews from two Seattle network affiliate TV stations had descended on our neighborhood to cover this story. And the story was amazing. It turned out that a neighbor of ours, an elderly lady right down the street, had died. And she left her beautiful home with a sweeping view of the Olympic Mountains and Bud Inlet, the southernmost reach of Puget Sound. This beautiful view, she left her lovely home along with several million dollars to her cats. This is a true story. Her 12 cats inherited the house and millions of dollars. This was all done properly and apparently was legally binding. It was arranged that people would come and feed the cats and empty the litter boxes and maintain the home for years to come. And somehow news of this made its way to the media, and two network affiliate TV stations in Seattle considered it worthy of airtime on the regional evening news. Wow. There's a lousy manager. Talk about a lousy manager. What a waste of resources. Her cats inheriting millions of dollars. You know, she was our neighbor. I just wish we'd been nicer to her. That's why this parable is difficult for you and me to understand. We like to see ourselves as owners, not managers or stewards. And if we are only managers of all that we have, at least give me credit for being a decent manager, and certainly not a dishonest one. But the reality is, that's what we are. We're managers, not owners, and we're lousy managers because we constantly forget who owns these assets we manage. The truth is that everything you have, tangible or intangible, has been given to you by God. Your money, your intellect, your abilities, they aren't yours. They belong to God. And you have an obligation to manage them for His purposes, not yours. And that's a very unpopular message. In fact, it's so unpopular, we're dishonest about it. Years ago, I had a coworker who told me that the only reason she worked, and she made a lot of money, the only reason she worked was so that she and her husband could tithe. She knew I was a Christian, and she was trying to impress me with her piety, I suppose. But the BS meter in the back of my brain was triggered. Maybe I'm just cynical, but I told her I worked because I like to eat. And I want to point out that I'm absolutely no better than she is, most likely worse. All of us look for loopholes in the law. We're always trying to justify what we do or don't do when it comes to our resources and our abilities. But the fact is, we're not called to just give 10%. We're called to understand that God owns all that we have. We're managers, not owners. And the truth is, none of us live that way. In the parable, the dishonest manager, who represents us, realized he was about to lose his job and face certain death because he failed in his role as the manager of the owner's assets. So he did something radical. While he still had the authority to do it, he went to those who owed money to the owner and drastically reduced their debts to the point where they could pay them. In other words, recognizing his own desperate need for mercy, the manager showed mercy to others. And that gets us to the whole point of the parable. The law message in this parable is that God owns everything, and you can't serve both God and money. You will hate one and love the other. So recognize God as the owner of all the resources available to you and act as the manager, not the owner. Well, none of us have done that. And so the law condemns us and drives us to the gospel. And the gospel message in the parable, the main point of the parable, and it has nothing to do with our honesty or dishonesty, and surprisingly, it's not even about how we manage or use our money. The gospel message here is that God is forgiving and generous and merciful toward you. Lousy, dishonest manager, though you may be. And me too. And just as the manager in the parable reduced the amount owed by the debtors, God has done the same thing for you and me. Except he's taken it a big step further. He sent his son to die on a cross, and rather than just reducing your debt, he's paid it in full. Your debt and mine. And that changes everything for you. And not only someday as you face eternity as a forgiven sinner, loved and redeemed by Christ, wrapped in his robes of righteousness and welcomed into heaven. Not only someday. It also changes things for you now. Because you who realize the depth of the mercy you have received are enabled to show mercy, even to those who have hurt you. And you who are racked with rage and shame and guilt and regret and worry, you can rest. You can even relax, knowing that you're fully accepted, fully loved, and completely forgiven by God. Accepted, loved, and heard by God who hears and answers your prayers and heals your wounds, even those on the inside. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, give us a new perspective. Help us to see ourselves as we are, as managers, not owners. And Lord, recognizing our failures and deficits as managers, help us to treasure the mercy that you have poured down upon us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.